would conclude with a brief account of the story of a cat called Pug. Of Pug, who is the cat of Prince Veen, who, if we remember, is the son of Maeglin and Gwynedd, who attempts to dishonour Elphin and Elphin's wife, but fails. A mysterious person. It comes from a mysterious and unknown source. So this begins with a black cat called Pug, who is a great big black cat. I might even say fat. The Pug would resist that description and would think of himself as well-muscled. And it begins really where Pug is resting on the battlements of the Caer of Maeglin Gwynedd in the sun, dreaming of supper. Because Pug, as it happens, is the beloved cat of Prince Veen. And Prince Veen loves Pug, and Pug loves Prince Veen. And they look after each other very well. And Pug likes nothing better than to just lie around in the sunshine, anticipating his next meal. Pug is not like some of the lesser cats of the household who have to catch mice and eat mice. Pug's food is delivered to him on a silver platter. And the mice are beautifully prepared by Prince Veen's personal chef, as are the little birds. And Pug is lying in the sunshine, lazily blinking and opening his eyes, and sees Veen coming towards him and starts to purr in anticipation of the coming meal. And to his outrage and to his shock and surprise, is grabbed and carried away from the kitchen and the tower where Veen has his quarters, and finds himself unceremoniously stuffed into a saddlebag and tied in such a way that he is within the saddlebag but he can still look out. And instead of continual strokes and kindness and soft words, his beloved master is cold to him and is short with him and will not speak and will not stroke, no matter how big and wide he opens his eyes and how much and softly he opens his mouth in the ancient cry of the silent meow that is cat's most powerful coercion on human beings. And he finds themselves riding north, away from the warmth and the coast, into the cold lands, into the highlands. And it is cold in this saddlebag, for there is no fur for him to sleep on. And at length they come to a castle that is like no castle Pug has ever seen before. It is half in ruins. It is cold. And he is grabbed out of the saddlebag and taken into a sleeping chamber that smells, that has rushes on the floor instead of furs. And he is given some scraps of meat and bone by a surly older man. And Pug is very sad. He does not know what has happened in the world. All his life, since he was a kitten, he has lived at the court of Maeglin and Gwynedd in the favour of Prince Veen. and he does not understand why Rin is no longer at his father's court. And Rin himself seems sad and angry and will not stroke him. And so Pug starts to investigate and explore in the days that follow the environment of the castle. There are many mice, but Pug, truth be told, is not a good mouser. He has never learned the skills. He has never needed to be. And still he does seem to be given scraps and bones to crunch on, and while they are not as satisfying as the choice cuts of meat and for mouse and bird, they keep his strength up. So he distracts himself by leaving the castle by exploring the wilderness outside the castle. And he smells a smell, a most intoxicating smell. It is the smell of a queen, a cat queen. A cat queen that might be responsive to a wonderful black tom. And this is the most wonderful smell that Pug has ever smelt. All thoughts of food, all thoughts of comfort are gone from him. Suddenly he is the lover, the warrior, the cat every queen would want. And as he rounds a corner of the path, standing on a stone, there is a beautiful white cat who, had he looked more closely, he would see that she has strange eyes, for there are stars swimming in her eyes. But he cannot see that, for all he can see is the beauty and the smell and the desire to be at one with her. And he makes a great leap towards the white and starry cat. And somehow she twists out of the way and eludes him, and he lands upon the stone. And in a moment she is gone. And he is sad. And then he decides to leap away from the stone and see what's for dinner. But he cannot move his feet from the stone. And then he sets up a great wail, a wail that very few cats can make. This is the wail of wails, the howl of howls, the howly cat of howly cats. That comes from the tip of his tail. And Rin, hearing this, comes running, for it shakes him out of his depression, out of his despair, because he loves Pug. He grabs Pug. He sees that somehow Pug is caught. He feels his paw is caught in the stone. So he grabs him to help release him. And suddenly, he too is caught. And they stand, Pug and Rin, caught by this block of stone. And a mist comes down upon them. And they find themselves in a strange house, with a fire burning on the hearth of many colours, and three women standing looking at them both. And besides one of the women is the white cat with the eyes like stars. And the women too have stars in their eyes, like spiral nebulae. And the first one, who is attired like a warrior, gives Rin a sword and challenges him and attacks him and overthrows him with ease. And the second, to his great chagrin, grabs him by the penis and shakes his penis And Metta's, no, not much there. And the third and most disturbing of all takes a little nip out of his forearm and says, "No, you're not good eating." And so there is a whole process, a time of being in the house between the worlds that is very difficult for both Rin and Puk. For at unspecified moments, at times when that are not planned, Rin is alternately attacked, measured, and tasted. And this too happens to Pug, as the white cat with the star in her eyes keeps chasing to attack, keeps inflicting the delicious smell, and keeps nipping him. And gradually, in this time that is beyond times, both Rin and Pug start to change, becoming maybe even the image of themselves, becoming stronger, more potent, more tasty, more powerful, more virtuous in the true sense of virtue. And then the three and the cat stand before Pug and Rin and say to them both, "We have a quest for you. You may stay here, in which case she will eat you. Or you may follow a quest that may lead you into the achievement of great beauty and great sovereignty." And somehow Pug realizes he is meant to help in this quest. And they are asked to go to a cavern that is nearby the house, that is across a chasm, into a crevasse, to receive the mirror of truth. And understandably, as neither wants to be eaten, and quite like the idea of being rewarded in a wonderful way, they decide to go upon their quest. And the quest is short and long, particularly as we have very little time left. So we will do the shorter version of the quest today. It can often be a very long quest. But today it is a short quest. And they find themselves, they go off into the wilderness. They see the cave in the distance, and in front of the cave, and wrapped around, there is the figure of a dragon that is red and white, is silver and gold, and is guarding the entrance to the cave. And dragons are the most subtle of beings. And the dragon speaks to Rin and to Pug, and ensnares Rin in the twists and the turns of its mind and its words. But cats have the straightest of minds, have the straightest of gazes. And Pug sees through the twists and the turns of the dragon, and knows and sees that there is a point in the mind of the dragon that the claw of a cat can pierce. And Pug watches as he would watch a mouse hole, watches and waits for that point in the dragon's mind to become visible, and strikes. And the dragon shrinks and becomes a small dragon, a tiny dragon, a frightened dragon, and flees. And the gold and the silver and the jewels blow away like leaves. leaving the entrance to a chasm. A chasm that is bridged by a bridge that is thin as a blade. And at the other side of the chasm, there is the mirror. And together, Rin and Pug start to cross the chasm towards the mirror of truth. But as they come to the halfway point, a shape of horror emerges with tentacles and fangs and claws and multiple shapes. And there is a moment where Rin is entangled and looks like to be pulled down. And there is a moment where Pug awakens fully to the realization of his master's danger and takes a great leap into the heart of the darkness, into the heart of the figure, all claws extended, all power focused, and strikes into the heart of the monster and falls with it into the great chasm, leaving Rin alone on the bridge. And there is nothing for him to do but to cross the bridge and to look deeply into the mirror. And what he sees in the mirror can never be told, but it changes Prince Rin forever. He returns as one who is seen into the deep nature of truth and in later days he becomes the one who puts down the great evil that falls upon Gwynedd. He becomes a great teacher and druid, and at the heart of his teaching is the leap of the cat into the heart of darkness. And thus he remembers Pug always in his life and in his teaching. But what of Pug? So Pug, by his great strike, has slain the monster, but falls and falls and falls and falls and falls and bounces and falls and bounces and falls 9 times. And then is still for a moment. And then finds himself floating a little above a stream in a darkness that is also full of stars. And this is strange to Pug, for he has never floated before. And in the distance, he sees a coracle. And in the coracle, there is the shape of a man who bears a star upon his brow and a great cloak, and who gathers Pug to him. And it is said that in the far reaches of the world, in the far reaches of the mind, that where Taliesin can be found, there is also a black cat who also bears a star upon his brow and who can lead us from darkness to light, from pain to peace, from ugliness to beauty, from starvation to satiation. And that is the story of Pug.